Deliver me, O Lord, from evil men. Preserve me from violent men who plan evil things in their heart and stir up wars continually. They make their tongue sharp as a serpent's, and under their lips is the venom of asps. Guard me, O Lord, from the hands of the wicked. Preserve me from violent men who have planned to trip up my feet. The arrogant have hidden a trap for me, and with cords they have spread a net. Beside the way they have set snares for me. I say to the Lord, you are my God. Give ear to the voice of my pleas for mercy, O Lord. O Lord, my Lord, the strength of my salvation, you have covered my head in the day of battle. Grant not, O Lord, the desires of the wicked. Do not further their evil plot, or they will be exalted. As for the head of those who surround me, let the mischief of their lips overwhelm them. Let burning coals fall upon them. Let them be cast into fire, into miry pits, no more to rise. Let not the slanderer be established in the land. Let evil hunt down the violent man speedily. I know that the Lord will maintain the cause of the afflicted and will execute justice for the needy. Surely the righteous shall give thanks to your name. The upright shall dwell in your presence. And may God be pleased to write these, his words, upon our hearts and our minds and give us guidance by his Spirit tonight as we look at this psalm. Again, we're continuing our study through the fifth book of the Psalter. And these psalms from 135 on here are psalms of David. And they're psalms that have largely dealt with this matter of praise and thanksgiving. But Psalm 40, the way it starts off, doesn't really give us much of a sense of it being a psalm of praise and worship of God. But I would argue that it is. And certainly as it concludes, we see the worship of David, of his God and deliverer. So this evening, we're going to be looking at three areas that stand out from this psalm. One, we see that there is a reminder here that God has supplied of the wickedness that is to be found within this world. Second, a reminder to us that God is our protector and our deliverer. And thirdly, a reminder that we too are secure in his presence. And so let's look at this passage this evening. As I said, we begin with this idea of the reminder of the wickedness to be found within the world. And as David begins, we see that he is writing in a period of his life where he is feeling a great deal of challenge and a great deal of danger surrounding him. Many of the commentators argue that this psalm likely came to and was penned by David after his encounters with Absalom and that kind of tumultuous season within David's reign. And we have here described not a physical attack necessarily by those enemies of David, but we see here how wickedness often takes the shape of slander, wicked thoughts. We see the conniving of the enemies of God here described by David. He says, "Deliver me, O Lord, from evil men. Preserve me from violent men who plan evil things in their heart and stir up wars continually." As these, the enemies of David, were conniving against him, as they sought his ruin, as they sought to supplant him and establish themselves, that it has a tendency to begin with these ideas bubbling up within these wicked stone hearts. It begins with slanderous words that are being leveled against the Lord's anointed. And here we see the kinds of injuries that are to be done by an uncontrolled tongue, as here the psalmist describes these enemies of David, these enemies of God, as those who make their tongue sharp as a serpent's, and how their words are described as deadly, like the venom of the asp. We have here described for us in these enemies of God a description of the condition of all men apart from Christ, a description of that condition of total depravity that the Scriptures attest to here within these first three verses of Psalm 140. And what is the response of David? David being that man of blood, David being that man of war. Well, if he were to respond as the world would have him respond, he would have taken up sword. He would have taken matters into his own hand. But we see that the response of David, even in this difficult season, even when those of his own household arose up against him, he turns to the Lord. We see that David cries out to God, entrusting himself to God's care. Deliver me, O Lord. Or in verse 4, guard me, O Lord, from the hands of the wicked. Preserve me, O Lord, from violent men who have planned to trip up my feet. Not only are these men who strive against God's anointed full of evil words and thoughts, but we see that they take those words and they see them develop more fully into action. Not only are they speaking things that would be harmful to the reputation of David, seeking to undermine his authority in the hearts of the people, but we see that they have planned to trip up his feet. Sometimes that comes just by those words that are used against us, where the evil one wants to cause us to lash out, to respond in kind, to fail to show the discipline of our tongue or our thoughts that God demands of us, his servants. We see here that these arrogant have hidden a trap for him, and with cords they have spread a net. You see that they want to entrap this man of God. And this often happens to God's people today. How those who do not love God seek the ruination of those who do love him, who get very little joy out of the rest of life, and they have this twisted view of some kind of satisfaction when they see others fall. Then we move on into the second portion. Look in verses 6 to 11. We see David's response. I say to the Lord, you are my God. Give ear to the voice of my pleas for mercy, O Lord. O Lord, my Lord, the strength of my salvation, you have covered my head in the day of battle. Grant not, O Lord, the desires of the wicked. Do not further their evil plot, or they will be exalted. We see here that David understood his protection came not from that sword of Goliath that was at his side. His strength, his mighty men were not those things in which he could put his trust. But he entrusts himself to God. It was with God and God alone that in the midst of these attacks, in the midst of these efforts by the enemies, he would find his comfort and his deliverance. And so we see that David's and our only protector and deliverer is God. As for the head of those who surround me, let the mischief of their lips overwhelm them. Let burning coals fall upon them. Let them be cast into the fire, into miry pits, no more to rise. Again, David doesn't take these matters into his own hand. Though he has ideas as to what he would like to see happen with these misguided efforts of the godless, of the violent, of the rebellious to God, he doesn't take these matters that he offers up here into his own hand, but rather leaves these things to God. His concern is, again, not for his own honor and glory. And so he says, do not further their evil plot or they will be exalted. His concern is for the glory of God. That it would not be mistaken by those around him that those who wage war against God are ever victorious or are strong as they view themselves in their own eyes. But rather that God alone would be exalted. And so we see that in this dark hour of the life of David, when all seems to be stacked against him, when the enemies are not only from outside, but even from within his own household, he seeks the Lord. And as I say, if this psalm ended at this point, we would have a hard time necessarily seeing that this is a psalm intended to spur on our worship of God. That this was a worshipful psalm. But verses 12 and 13 show us what it is that causes David to worship God. He says, I know that the Lord will maintain the cause of the afflicted and will execute justice for the needy. Surely the righteous will give thanks to your name, and the upright shall dwell in your presence. Here we see that there is a great comfort that is ours as we grow in our familiarity with the Word of God, as we grow in our relationship with that one who laid down his life for us, that we, like David, can confidently say, I know that the Lord will maintain the cause of the afflicted. You've heard the phrase, ignorance is bliss. Well, clearly here David is saying something quite the opposite. That for the man, woman, and child of God, our great comfort is in knowing our Creator. Our great comfort is knowing that that one who sits on high is unchangeable, is not fickle, but is steadfast and true and is well established. And so for us is a place of security and a place of refuge, a place of comfort, no matter what we face. And there have been many this year that have faced great adversity. Whether that has been the loss of jobs, the loss of loved ones, whether that has been the depression that can befall us when all of those other outward outlets are gone and we find ourselves isolated into the four walls of our homes due to the threat of this current pandemic. Yet David says, my comfort stems from the fact that I know the Lord. that I know His word, that I recall His many promises, that He has assured me that none that are His can be taken out of His hand. He's demonstrated it time and time again as He has taken Israel up against insurmountable odds by the wisdom of men. And He has given them victory. I've been reading recently for my boys through the book of Joshua. After Moses' death, Joshua was tasked with bringing God's people into the promised land. And you have all of these accounts of the amazing routes that God brings about in establishing His people as He had promised He would do. And those aren't just of historic value for us. But brothers and sisters, those are practical in their value for us. And that they speak to this measure of confidence that is ours and is to be ours in Christ. It's one of the reasons why in the midst of this pandemic, we continue to meet together. Why in the midst of this pandemic, we continue to go throughout our lives with the confidence of knowing there is nothing in all that has been created that can possibly thwart God's most perfect plan. And so you've heard it said that we are, His people are the equivalent of immortal until that time that God has prescribed that they would conclude their race, that they would finish that course set out by Him. And that's a great comfort to us. That was a great comfort to David in the midst of this season of his life. That he could entrust himself, he could find comfort, that he could sleep at night because of this confidence given him by God, a God who chose to reveal Himself that His people may have that comfort, confidence, and peace. He says, "Surely the righteous shall give thanks to Your name, and the upright shall dwell in Your presence." Brothers and sisters, as we gather here even this evening, part of our joy in gathering to worship God is this is a foretaste of heaven. We're gathering together and He is with us. And we need those reminders as we look ahead to the days that are to come. But we need these reminders in order that we might focus more intently on that which is our ultimate aim, that place that we yearn to dwell above all other things and all other places, that we might achieve, as Christian said, that celestial city, and there where we may dwell with Him forevermore. And so why is this a psalm of worship? It is a psalm that yields worship because it reminds us of God's presence with us. It reminds us of God's care for us. And it once again reminds us that we are merely traveling through with the ultimate end of an eternity with Him. And so may we go forth from this place into the world with confidence, eager to do His will, serving Him with all the energies which He is pleased to provide, that He may be glorified, and that God may be pleased to use us as His instruments to proclaim His goodness to those who presently walk in darkness, and as an encouragement to those who are in need, today, tomorrow, and in the days to come. Let's look to Him in prayer. Almighty God, again, we thank You. We thank You, Lord, that You have not left us blind and dumb, but rather through Christ You have been pleased to enliven us. And You, Lord, have revealed Yourself, and You have sent to us Your Spirit to guide and direct us that we might hear Your Word and understand Your Word. And like David, Lord, we thank You that by the work of Christ and through the ministry of the Spirit, You are pleased that we can know You. And we thank You, Lord, for the knowledge which You give. We thank You, Lord, that You are unchangeable, that what You have said in the past today is true and will always be true. And so, Lord, we pray that though the enemies may abound, though slander like the adder's venom may be upon their tongues, we will not fear, for You are with us. Your hand guides us. From Your grasp we cannot be taken. And so, Lord, may we go forth in Your service with boldness to do Your will, to the glory of Your name, and for the strengthening of Your kingdom as You are pleased to use us. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.